Good evening. For our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time at the Silver Lake Baptist Church. Tonight, we're going to be covering the first part of a two-part study on the subject of the Antichrist. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, beginning in verse 1, says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you soon not be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there coming a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing that he is God." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, add your blessing upon this study this evening. Help us and guide us, Lord, so that we can be well-informed believers and men and women that will be able to share our faith with others. Bless now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The word Antichrist occurs in only four verses in the Bible. The word Antichrist means against Christ or instead of Christ. Now, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 18 and 22, let me read these few verses here to you where the word Antichrist is being used. And it says here in 1 John, chapter 2, and in verse 18, it says, "Little children," he's speaking to Christians, "it is the last time. And as you've heard that Antichrist shall come," that is the Antichrist at the end of the age. But it says these words here, "Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." He's saying there are many Antichrists in the world, many who are instead of Christ or oppose Christ or the opposite of Christ. In verse 22 of the same chapter, 1 John chapter 2, it says, "Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, denieth the Father and the Son." So we find out anyone who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, that he is God's Son, is an Antichrist. Now, we will not know the identity of the Antichrist before it happens. What I mean is the Antichrist at the end of the age, we will not know who that person is. But we can learn a lot about him. Okay, we have 25 different titles given to the Antichrist in the Bible, and they're all bad. And he is mentioned, not the word Antichrist, but who he is, at least 100 times in both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I will say this, he's empowered and controlled by Satan. So this morning, what I'd like to speak to you about in our Bible lesson, actually it's the evening of Wednesday, I'm going to speak to you this evening about the Antichrist. Number one, the Antichrist and his preparation. His Antichrist and the preparation. Now, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament has probably the most of all the Old Testament prophets about the Antichrist. He speaks much about him. And in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 and 24, for Daniel 8, 23 and 24, the Bible says here from the book of Daniel in chapter 8, it says here in verse 23 and 24, it says, "And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full," now here's about the Antichrist, "a king of fierce countenance, understanding dark sentences, shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice and destroy the mighty people and the holy people." It says here he will be a king of fierce countenance. In other words, he will have sinister schemes. He will have power, if not of his own. He will have power from Satan to go and to destroy. We notice in Romans chapter 13, or Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, where it speaks about the Antichrist and the false prophet. It says here in verse 1 in chapter 13, it says this here, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven horns Seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. It says that he will rise up out of the sea. And you'll say, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he's going to come out of the ocean. But whenever you want to interpret something from the Bible, something that's not very clear, you look to another place in the Bible that does tell you and give you the answer you're looking for. So if we turn to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15, the Bible says, he saith unto me, the waters, the sea, which thou sawest, where the horse sitted, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So we find out from the word of God that, number one, he's going to come out of the sea of humanity. And we also, number two, that when it speaks about the sea, it speaks about the Gentile-speaking nation. Now, what nation is this man going to come from? Well, we find out in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26, it doesn't give us the exact nation, but it tells you generally where he's coming from. It says in chapter 9, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That means that the Messiah, remember when Daniel was writing this, was over 500 years before Jesus was even born. Well, it says when Messiah is cut off, when Messiah Jesus would be rejected, the Bible says, not for himself, and the people of the prince, in other words, the prince of the power or the nation that will come and will destroy the city, that's Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, that's the temple, and the end thereof shall be a flood, and unto the end of war, desolations are determined. So what the Bible is saying in prophecy is that the very power that destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, which was the Roman Empire, the Antichrist will be coming out of the old Roman Empire, somewhere in that confederation of nations today, but made up the Roman Empire at that time. Well, we understand that he will come out from the European Union. So that is his preparation. He will come forth on the scene of history after the rapture, out of the sea of humanity, a Gentile, and he will come out from the Roman Empire. Number two, about the Antichrist, is his presentation. His presentation. Let me turn to you to the book of 2 Thessalonians, where we started just a moment ago. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we find out here in verses 3 and 4 about the Antichrist, the Holy Spirit said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day is that? The day of all these prophecies here speaking about the rapture, and then, of course, the Antichrist, the tribulation. It says, the day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay? What we find out from the word of God, the falling away is what we get, and we have the word apostasy. Apostasy means a falling away. Okay, a falling away, a large falling away from a large segment of so-called Bible Christianity. Okay, the teaching that Christ is the Son of God, the teaching that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the teaching that he was resurrected from the dead, the teaching of the virgin birth, the teaching of Jesus returning again. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a falling away from first, and we've seen that already happen. That's already started in our world, that people that one time believed these truths now have fallen away from it. But after the rapture, there's going to be a great falling away from the truth because all Bible-believing people who put their trust in Jesus, all the pastors that are Bible-believing and put their trust in Jesus, all of them will be withdrawn out of this world at the rapture. And the Bible teaches in verse 4, the Antichrist, he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. That means that the Antichrist, after he comes on the scene, a short while later, he will declare himself God and institute worship of him being as God. Now, we find out from the word of God that Jesus predicted that this would happen. He predicted this. He said in this great sermon of Bible prophecy, which, by the way, is the greatest sermon on prophecy that ever was preached, it says in verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus predicted that there will be men who will be false teachers, drawing away people after themselves. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. First, we'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "Now in the Spirit speak it expressly, that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to," what the Bible says, "seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The Bible teaches that the seducing spirits is someone trying to seduce people to do things or that they shouldn't do, or seduce people to turn away from the truth of the gospel. We find out over here that the latter days there will be false teachers teaching doctrines of devils. What does that mean? That means these are teachings that come from the devil himself. We also notice that Paul, writing to his protege, Timothy, his disciple, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he told them to preach the word in verse 2, but he said this, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The Bible says there will be a time when these teachers will come around and people will not want to hear sound teaching. The word sound teaching means healthy teaching, but they will want people to tickle their ears with what they want to hear, not what they need. So the Bible teaches that. Now, the Antichrist cannot appear before the rapture. He cannot appear before the rapture. The Bible teaches in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verses 7 and 8, the Bible says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It means the whole mystery of sin, why sin came into the human race, why sin continued, why the devil, all these things. But we don't understand that. God has the answer for these things, but it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who will now let it will let, till he taketh out of the way," until he be taken out of the way. Well, who is this person? "He who will let until he be taken out of the way." That's the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is working inside of believers, inside of churches, okay? And even though sin has been growing and growing in our world, it has a harness on it, okay? It's like a muzzle, okay? But when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit's current ministry will be removed from the earth. And all hell will break loose, because where is the Holy Spirit today? He's inside the hearts and the lives of believers. That Holy Spirit will be removed in our lives, and then there will be a great explosion of sin. The Bible says in verse 8, "Then shall that wicked be revealed." If you have your Bibles, the word wicked is capitalized, the W there, meaning it's not just wickedness, it's the person of wickedness, which is Satan, and also the Antichrist. It says, "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." So in verse 7, it talks about the Holy Spirit removed, okay, in his current ministry. That's the rapture. And then in verse 8, "Then shall that wicked one," the Antichrist, "being revealed." And then when that happens after the rapture, all hell will break loose on the earth. So we find out over here that we're living in the time of apostasy, but once the rapture takes place, then there's going to be a tremendous falling away for the truths of the gospel of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask our question in number 3, the personality of the Antichrist. What is his personality? Well, again, Daniel gives us the verses of scripture of what God wants us to know about his personality. And in Daniel chapter 7 and verses 8 and 25, let me read these things about the Antichrist. Chapter 7 and verse 8. It says, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." Now, the little horn is the Antichrist. He comes up among the other horns, the other government leaders or kings and leaders. There's another one comes up, "before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man." So we know it's not just a horn. It's speaking about a man, okay? And a mouth speaking great things. There's one thing about the Antichrist. He's going to have a big mouth, and he's going to be blaspheming God. And the Bible says in verse 25 of the same chapter, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. He's going to mock God. He's going to mock the very teachings about God. He shall wear out the saints, that is the believers who are getting saved during the tribulation period of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until the time and times and the dividing of time. So we're going to find out that, and we see from the word of God, he is going to be a pompous man. He will magnify himself against God. Chapter 11 of Daniel, verse 36. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. It says, and the king shall do exceeding according to his will. He shall exalt himself. He's going to be the most prideful, arrogant man that's ever walked the earth. We think we've seen prideful people. This man's going to top it. You know why? Because Satan is in him. And Satan is prideful and arrogant. It says, and the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself. He shall magnify himself above every god. He shall speak marvelous things against God, the God of gods. He shall prosper till the indignation of accomplish, for in that is determined shall be done. He will prosper. In the beginning, when he comes on the scene after the rapture, the world is going to be in travail. We think we're in travail now with this virus going into 151 countries, thousands of people dying, no cure, and we think it's going to be bad now. He's going to come at a time that is going to be far worse than this. And when he comes on the scene, he's going to have the answers for the economy that collapsed. He's going to have the answers for the medical side of it and all kinds of things like that. And you say, where is he getting all this knowledge? Where is he getting all this wisdom? Well, he's getting it from Satan. Satan is very smart. It's a sick smartness, if I can put it that way. It's colored with evil. But Satan is going to give him a wisdom to do things that men could not even come up with. And we find out he will be powerful. He will be charismatic. He will boast himself above God. And he will have a perfect command and flow of language. He will be a dynamic speaker that will be able to woo people to what he believes. They're going to follow him. Remember, all the believers are going to be taken out of the world after the rapture. Okay, there's not going to be any believers left until God raises up the two prophets and raises up the 144,000. Then people are going to get saved. But many people are going to start to follow him. Let me give you a few things here. First of all, he's going to be attractive. Attractive. Chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 20. The Bible says here, and of the 10 horns, that is the 10 confederation of kingdoms, okay, in the world. It's going to be a one world order, the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, that means the Antichrist, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes, that's the Antichrist, and a mouth that speaketh very great things, whose look was more, look at the wording, stout, more than his fellows. Okay, the word stout in the King James, but the New King James, as it tries to translate that, says, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. That means he's going to be a handsome, attractive-looking man. Okay? So not only will he have dynamic ability and speech to sway large groups of people. You know, people are basically sheep. That's what the Bible teaches. People are like sheep. But you got to be careful of what shepherd you have. We, those who are Christians, we have the good shepherd, Jesus. Now, this is a false, evil shepherd. So he will be attractive. He will be able to portray himself in such a fashion that people will be attracted to him, and he will have tremendous intellect. Let me give you a couple examples. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, it says, in the latter time of this kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, the Bible says, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. What does that mean? Dark sentences. He's going to have ability of knowledge that will be given to him by the power of Satan and Satan's wisdom. He'll be able to have the answers to the problems of the world after the rapture. And he will have great intellect. And people will follow him because of the way he presents himself. You know, I think of Adolf Hitler and seeing the History Channel and seeing when Hitler got up to speak. And the place of the auditorium was packed, and everything was quiet. And I watched how Hitler was able to begin how he spoke, and he spoke very softly, and he spoke very clearly. And then he started to build himself up and be able to give out his teachings and the beliefs that he had, and it became fiery rhetoric, and the crowd was mesmerized. The crowd was almost like hypnotized. Well, this was going to happen to the people who listened to this man. Now, let me give you the fourth thing, his plan. The Antichrist has a plan. He will work in the new world order. In other words, the world is going to come and be one united world under one leader, one government, one law, one economy. And the world will be part of 10 leaders controlling 10 regions of the world. And the Antichrist will come along and be voted in or elected or whatever it may be as the leader of this confederation. Let me read to you Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. Bible says in verse 8, I consider the horns, and behold, up there came up among them another little horn. So there's a 10 worlds, world leaders, 10 world confederation. Then this Antichrist comes up, before whom there will be three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. When he comes in, he's going to pluck up three of those kingdoms. In other words, he's going to overrun them. Okay, will they willingly give it to him, or will he take it by power? It seems like he will take it by power. And we find out over here, he will cleverly subdue three of the leaders of these nations, and he will gain great prominence and power. Verse 24 of Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, it says, and the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. That's the Antichrist. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. So he's going to subdue these kings, and he's going to have power. Now, we talk about he's going to rebuild the economy. What does the book of Daniel say about that? Well, there's two places in Daniel 8:25, which I read before, but let me read this. And through his policy, that's the Antichrist policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall he destroy many, and he will. That's how he gains power, by having a peace plan between the Jews and the Arabs. And he shall stand up against the prince of princes, the prince of princes. If you notice, the word prince there is capitalized, meaning Jesus. But he shall be broken without hand. He will cause craft to prosper. After the rapture, the economies of the world will collapse. People's retirements collapsed. Their money in the banks collapsed. There's not going to be anything. But when he comes on the scene, he's going to bring forth an economic plan to rescue the nations and to rescue people's retirement. And people are going to applaud. How is he going to do this? Well, with Satan giving him the wisdom, he's going to come up with a plan that will build his stature among the world's leaders. Daniel chapter 11 and in verse 21, the Bible says, in his estate shall stand up a vile person. That's exactly what he is, vile. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. He'll be a man of peace, and who can argue with peace? And obtain the kingdoms by flattery. You flatter people enough, people will start believing the flattery that is given to them. So we find out he will rebuild the economy. And I want to give you one more part, one more thing, his pride. His pride. The Bible teaches in Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. Revelation chapter 13, verse 6. We're going to notice here that in Revelation, speaking the whole chapter 13 is about the Antichrist and the false prophet. It says here in verse 6, it says, and he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme God's name, his tabernacle, and then the dwell in heaven. His pride is so great, he blasphemes God's name. Anytime he gets the chance, he'll blaspheme the name of God. And the Bible says that not only will he blaspheme God's name, he'll blaspheme his tabernacle. What is his tabernacle? That means heaven. Now remember, according to the Bible in Revelation chapter 12, Satan does have access to God in heaven. We don't understand it all, but it does teach that Satan comes before God periodically and he charges the believers with sin before God. And of course, it's all dismissed because the blood of Christ wipes away all our sins. Amen. And we find out here that he comes before God, but there's a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels against the dragon and his angels, and there's a war. Satan's cast out. After he's cast out to the earth, he knows that time is very, very short at that point. So he blasphemes heaven where God dwells, and then he blasphemes something else. He blasphemes them that dwell in heaven. Okay, that is the raptured believers. Men and women who are saved and have been raptured, we're in heaven. We're not going through what's going on the earth. And he will blaspheme them. And we find out that the raptured saints are going to be safe in heaven. Now, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, and if you wanted that text concerning the battle in heaven between the angels, that is in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Let me just read it quickly. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that's the devil, and the dragon fought with his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. So we understand that battle's going to take place, and they're going to be cast out, and Satan is going to be even more incensed with anger, hatred against God, against heaven, and of course, against those who are born again, those who are saved, those who are in heaven. And we find out with this closing scripture, Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. We find out something here in verse 36 of Daniel 11. We find out here in Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. It says here, "And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself." That is Antichrist. "Magnifying himself above every god. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. He shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished." Believe me, this Antichrist only has 7 years. That's all he has. "For that in time determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women," which gives an implication he might be a homosexual. Okay, there's a couple of different rendering here about this. He could be a homosexual. "Nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall be honored the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall be honored with gold." Who's the God that they knew not? Lucifer, okay? Lucifer is the God they knew not, with silver, gold, and precious stones and pleasant things. So he will do everything possible, okay, to drive out the thought of God out of the minds of people. Now, what we did tonight was give you a beginning and the start of a two-part series on the Antichrist. Now, you say, "Pastor, is the Antichrist around today?" I believe he is. I believe he is. But remember, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's not coming on the scene as a little child. He's coming up as a grown, mature man. And we find out from God's word that he will come on the scene of human history after the rapture. Now, that goes and tells me something. He's being tutored, he's being trained, he's being discipled, if you may say, by Lucifer, Satan himself. He will have dynamic power. He will have military power. He will have not only military power, but he'll have political power. And he will be thought as a savior. Okay, after he rebuilds things, people are going to look at him more than a man. They'll look at him as possibly God or as Christ himself. So we wanted to give this to you. This is being recorded. You can review this again. I ask you to go over it with your Bible. Take notes. And next week we will finish this series with another message about the Antichrist. And a lot of it will be coming from the book of Revelation. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then I'd like to give you a few announcements. Okay, word of prayer, and then I'd like to give you a few announcements. Let's pray. Father, add your blessing upon the word of God, which we heard this morning. We pray that this would help and fulfill the heart of men and women on Bible knowledge about the Antichrist. Lord, we're not here to look for the Antichrist. We know that he's not going to be revealed until after the rapture. If anything, we should do is continue to look for God in our lives to be able to bless us and serve us. Bless our church. Help us, Lord, as we're going through this travail of crisis. Be with the men and women that are sick, Father. We pray for healing. We pray that your protective hand be upon Silver Lake Baptist Church. We also are praying, God, that you bless our church in the outreach of lost souls of men and women, not only around here, but through the internet, we're able to get into the regions beyond us. So please bless us now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let me just give you a few announcements. We are continuing to have our services live stream on every Sunday at 11 o'clock. Next Sunday, which will be the first Sunday of the month of April, which is Palm Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message which is titled The Word of Forgiveness. That'll be on Palm Sunday. And then on Easter Sunday, I'll be preaching on the topic of the sights and sounds of Easter. I would encourage all of you that are watching this and viewing this to share this information to your friends. Share it to your family. There are many people who may not necessarily ever come to our church, but we're willing to sit at home with a cup of coffee and watch and listen. Okay? We also want to be praying for the men and women that are sick in our church. There are several right now that are ill. One has tested positive for the coronavirus. We want to pray for her and her family. Her name is Tina and her husband Angel and their three boys. We want to pray for that. We also want to pray that God will protect our families and give wisdom to the leaders such as our president, the governor, the mayors. We all understand that they're just human beings, but we're trusting that God will give them wisdom. But let me just share this with you. We need to be praying for our nation as a whole. We need to be praying for our country to repent. Let me read this verse of scripture that pertains to what we're going through. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. America needs to repent. America needs to turn her face unto God and seek God's help. We can have Congress, we can have the president, we can have local leaders, we can send relief packages of money and all these things, but folks, we need God. So we want to pray for that. We're asking you to continue to pray and keep in prayer that America will repent and turn to Jesus Christ. So God bless you, and we will see you by God's grace next Sunday. And also remember that Jesus can come back at any time. And we know that. And we know that his coming is soon. God bless you. Good night.